Jesus, Paul, Peter, and James all warned against deception. What are some of the great deceptions in the church today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We are right now experiencing something we never quite experienced at the beginning of a broadcast. I was getting ready for the show, just the final minutes before the show, and noticed my office was vibrating mildly. And suddenly folks were coming out from other offices in the building here where our studio is and said, Did you feel that? So, yes. Look, I'm not from California, so this is not an everyday experience for me. We have just experienced our first slight earthquake here right outside of Charlotte, the first one that I've been part of. So if suddenly you hear something like that, then that would probably mean something more serious. But at this point, just a very minor earthquake. But interesting, I'll tell you, in all seriousness, I can't imagine for a moment what a real quake would be like. In terms of one that, you know, where the buildings are actually rattling and so on. But then to have an actual cataclysmic earthquake, to have something where really it brings destruction and chaos and many lives taken and suddenly buildings swallowed up. I can't imagine what that would be like. But I'll tell you this much. I would think it would bring a holy fear of God. Not that God is sending it necessarily, but just this reality of how fragile everything is and this reality of how one day everything is going to be shaken. Quite an intro. Hey, look, I can't give that intro every day, but I'm giving it today on The Line of Fire. And I do have some really serious things to talk to you about on the broadcast. So the minor tremor, whatever it was, I'm sure it barely registered on a Richter scale, but whatever it was that we just experienced, sobers me up all the more as I talk to you today about some of the serious deceptions that are in the church, some of the most serious deceptions that I run into over and over and over again. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, you can add your comments to our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown, or to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Okay. Here's what I want to lay out, and I want to get your feedback. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this and perhaps some related deceptions we can discuss. I'm going to lay out a number of things this hour, then I'll continue with some others in the next hour. Number one, the idea that experience trumps or modifies the word. The idea that experience trumps or modifies the word. Another major deception. The deception that when we quote the scripture, when we give people the word, that's just the dead letter. All that is the dead letter. And either Jesus is the living word by which we interpret the written word, or the Holy Spirit has to speak what's written in the word. Otherwise, it's just the dead letter. Another major deception. We'll see how many of these we get to in this hour. Another major deception. The idea that God doesn't care about conduct, that God doesn't care about morality, or related to that, that God's grace actually doesn't change us. Those are the things we're going to talk about today on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Before we get into any of that, many of you are following the news in Libya, in Tripoli, where the capital city appears to fall into rebels, and Gaddafi's compound has been taken over. Look, there's no question that Gaddafi has been a dictator, in many ways a madman, a wicked ruler in many ways. There's also no question that things may get worse and not better in Libya, just as is happening in Egypt. Really pray for the will of God to be done in this part of the world right now.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. It is a delight to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH. Talk about some of the most dangerous deceptions in the body today online. AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Deception number one I want to talk to you about. Are you running into this a lot? Are you seeing this yourself? Are you hearing this from others? Deception number one, experience trumps the word or modifies the word. What I mean is this. I'll give you examples that I'm dealing with on a daily basis. Interacting with folks who claim to be gay and lesbian Christians. Now, I'm interacting with people who are very sincere, who would hold to many of the same moral values that I would. In other words, who would say promiscuity is wrong, and public lewdness is wrong, and faithfulness to one's spouse slash partner is important, and loving God is important, and loving your neighbor as yourself is important. And at the same time, these people would say to me as we've been dialoguing, that they're practicing homosexuals, that they're in committed relationships. And if I would come into one of their services, I would feel the Spirit, and that would be enough. And if I felt the Spirit, then that would prove to me that what they were doing was right. Now, I have to say that when people speak this way and interact with me in this way, my heart goes out to them. You're not talking about somebody who is a flaming drag queen parading down the street, or some guys holding up signs saying we want your boys or something like that. You're talking about someone who shares many of your same Christian values and yet would say that they are practicing homosexuals and God is blessing them and God is with them. And if I was in their midst, I would see that the Holy Spirit was moving, and that would prove that they were therefore right. Now, that's just one of the most obvious situations that I'm dealing with at the moment. But this idea is commonly out there, that whatever I'm doing, if I somehow feel the Spirit in it, if I feel the Lord in it, if I feel His favor in it, then that must make it right, even when the Scriptures are plainly against it. Let me be as clear as I can be. We're not talking about areas where the Bible does not address something. We're not talking about areas where the Bible is unclear or leaves something up to personal conscience or personal choice. We're not talking about that. Our experiences then are often very telling. For example, you're praying, Lord, do you want me to have this particular job? I'm really not sure about it. Would you show me? And suddenly you have this tremendous sense of peace. And then as you're praying about it, someone from that company calls you and say, listen, I don't know how we missed you, but we want to put you at the top of our list to hire you. Would you consider coming in? But listen, it's a bigger and better job than we thought we could give you at a higher salary, and we really want to work with you. We understand you have some religious commitments and things and services you have to be at, so we want to work with your schedule. Are you serious? And then you hang the phone up, and someone else calls you and says, I've just been praying for you about a job, and I just feel like something's just happened and the Lord's in it and you should go for it. And then the peace gets greater and deeper. Well, if that was me, that would be meaningful to me and very important to me. However, if the job was to be a mafia hitman, then all of that would be meaningless. If the job was to manage some strip club, that would be completely meaningless. If the job was to be a printer for a Muslim evangelistic association and develop their literature to reach the Christian community with the message of Allah, then the experience would simply be either coincidental or my own emotions or demonic deception. You see, that's where the Word of God comes into play. That's where the Word of God separates soul from spirit. That's where the Word of God separates our own emotions from spiritual truths. That's where the Word of God separates demonic deception from the truth of God's Word. I know people who were involved in relationships, and the relationship really had a lot of problems, and it was clear that this was not going to work out for these two people to come together and get married. Talking about a man and a woman. And one of them heard an audible voice that they were supposed to marry that person. This is a reliable person. They heard an audible voice that they were supposed to marry a particular person. Well, when you have clearly everything going against it, counseling, compatibility, other issues like that, then the audible voice is interesting, but you don't base things on it. When you have a relationship, there's so much emotion and things that can be caught up in it. So that's where, again, the word of God or practical wisdom makes a massive difference. Now, in ancient Israel, God warned his people. And it's important that you understand that I, your friend and radio host, Michael Brown, I believe in the gifts and power of the Spirit for today. In other words, I don't say that all prophetic words are deception, that all dreams and visions are deception, that all supernatural workings of what appear to be the Holy Spirit or deception. No, I believe that the Holy Spirit is working and speaking and acting today. And I have many friends who are not charismatic, and we love Jesus together and we serve God together. And we agree that the Word of God is the ultimate foundation. God warned ancient Israel. This was a people where God did move in miracles and signs and wonders. And where the miracles and signs and wonders would often be of a confirming nature. Moses worked certain signs, wonders, and miracles before the people of Israel to demonstrate he was truly sent by God. And then God moved supernaturally, over the whole nation and split the sea and triumphed over the gods of Egypt and triumphed over the powers of nature and demonstrated that he was the creator God. And then he spoke from Mount Sinai and he gave his word to his people. And then he says in Deuteronomy 13, in fact, I'll read these words to you. From Deuteronomy chapter 13, and the same principle holds true for us today. This is what God said to Israel. If a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, so it's an actual miracle. If a prophet or dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or wonder that he tells you comes to pass, and if he says, "Let us go after other gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them," you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and hold fast to him. But that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has taught rebellion against the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of slavery to make you leave the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk, so you shall purge the evil from your midst. That's why if Jesus came and abolished the law and the prophets, no matter how many miracles he worked, the Jewish people should have rejected him. No matter how many prophetic words he spoke, the Jewish people should have rejected him. Because he came to fulfill that which was written in Moses and the prophets, it was right to embrace him. And the miracles then were confirming of his ministry. But if miracles, presence, feelings, emotions, supernatural signs come, and they are contrary to what is written in the Word, they are either demonic deception or just human emotion or a combination or even add in some coincidence. And that's one of the reasons we have the Word of God. It is a lamp to our feet. It is a light to our path. Experience does not trump the Word of God. Experience does not modify the Word of God. I ran into some folks in ministry years ago who seemed to have a tremendous power in driving demons out of people. Now, the New Testament calls us to drive out demons, and it never tells us to stop. And if there were demons back in Jesus' day, there's still demons around. Otherwise, I wonder where did all the demons go? Some of you have your hunches on that. We won't get into that. But here's the point. These people seem to have a bona fide ministry of driving out demons, and then the demons would speak, and they would demand information from them. And then they started building doctrines on these messages that they were getting from demons speaking through people, you know, in different voices and different languages. It generally seemed to be demons speaking. You don't build doctrines on that. you don't build doctrines on that kind of information, and now you're going to read the scriptures differently, or now demons are going to give you keys to understand the scriptures. No, no. Doing those things, that's the path to deception. So, yes, God moves in our midst. Yes, God confirms his word, but he is not confirming a message that is contrary to his word. He is not confirming a lifestyle that is contrary to his word. He is not confirming a vocation or a choice that is contrary to his word. Experience is always subject to the word of God. And where God's word gives us clear parameters, that word must judge. Well, someone says, but that's just the Bible, just the dead letter. We'll come back to that. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, look at this. Look at this. CNN breaking news. An earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 5.9 struck in Northern Virginia. The U.S. Geological Survey said Tuesday the quake was felt in Washington, D.C. and as far away as North Carolina. That's correct. New York witnesses said while all U.S. Capitol buildings were evacuated, there are no reports of injuries or damage. Wow. I'll tell you, though, these kind of things get you praying. These kind of things get you saying, all right, Lord, we turn to you. And wow, very interesting. Hope, Joey, we're feeling totally stable. Everything's good here, man. No problem. Andrew, there. Yeah, we're feeling stable. Everything's good. And hopefully there is no real problems with the quake, but haven't been able to follow that. All right, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Talking about deception, some of the real dangerous deceptions in the body. If you had a list in your mind, some of the worst deceptions that are out there today, what would be the top one or two on your list? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What would you say are the things that concern you most? You're hearing this in church circles. You're hearing this in allegedly Christian circles. Deceptions. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. Let me illustrate this point a little bit more about experience, all right? And then I'll go on to the next point about is the Bible the living word or is it just a dead letter? Let's say you've got Pastor Jones and Pastor Smith, all right? Pastor Jones believes that Jesus is coming before the tribulation. Pastor Smith believes that Jesus is coming after the tribulation. Both of them believe that God heals the sick today, all right? The first pastor preaches his message, Jesus is coming before the tribulation. And as proof of that, we are going to lay hands on the sick tonight, and the sick will be healed in Jesus' name. And he preaches his message, and he uses his texts, and he lays hands on the sick, and they're healed. Now you go to the second church. The pastor says, Jesus is going to confirm my message tonight by healing the sick. And Jesus is coming after the tribulation. And here are the scriptures, and he preaches his message, and then he calls up the sick and lays hands on them in Jesus' name, and the sick are healed. What do I make of that? What did God confirm? Did God confirm Pastor Smith or Pastor Jones? No. Did God confirm which teaching was right? No. God confirmed that he healed the sick. If any doctrine was confirmed, it was that he healed the sick. As for who was right, look at the scriptures and work it out in the scripture. Well, we have disagreement. Okay, then we pray and we study and we ask God for insight. We humble ourselves before him and we study the best way that we know how. But we don't base doctrine on an experience. If we do, we absolutely make a major mistake. 866-34-TRUTH. I'll get to some of your calls in a moment. I'm curious to hear what you feel are some of the greatest deceptions in the body today. Now here's where the plot thickens. We share with someone, as I have with those who are advocating homosexual practice as Christians. I share with them what the scriptures say, and they throw back at me. Well, that's just the written word. You can't worship the word. We worship Jesus, the living word. or that's just the dead letter. Here I'm looking at one post from a professing gay Christian. Bibliolaters love to play Bible brawl, flinging Bible verses all over people and no heart whatsoever to know them as they are. These are the type of responses I get when I say, hey, look, I'm praying for you. I care about you. For these reasons, I have differences. You're claiming the scriptures are important in your life. Let me tell you what the Bible says. And then they come back, either tell me I'm lying. Yeah, I'm lying. I'm making it up. I'm making up what the Hebrew says. I'm lying. Or they'll say, well, that God's not a God of rules and regulations. You can't just throw that on me. It's all about relationship. Well, Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. It's not legalism. It's a loving relationship. And we show our love to God by walking in obedience. As Bob Dylan sang many years ago, you got to serve somebody. So this notion that the Bible is just some dead letter, well, that's just the Bible. Well, hang on. What does the Bible say about itself? Doesn't the word say, didn't Moses tell the children of Israel that these words are your very life? Doesn't it say that the law of the Lord is perfect and complete in Psalm 19, restoring the soul? Doesn't it say in Proverbs 3 that the scriptures are a tree of life? That God's wisdom and his word is a tree of life? Doesn't it say in Psalm 119 that this word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path? Didn't Jesus say that his words were living and active, that they were words of life? And Hebrews 4 tells us that the word of God, speaking of the written word of God, is living and active. I may receive it, I may not receive it. I may understand it, I may not understand it. I may apply it wrongly, I may apply it rightly, but it remains the word of God. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Isaiah 40 says, all flesh is just like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God remains forever. That's talking about the written word. 2 Peter 3, all scripture, the written word is inspired by God. So this is a very, very serious and dangerous deception. Not only that experience trumps scripture or experience modifies scripture, but that experience can outweigh scripture because I can't even use scripture. I have to use what I feel the scripture saying. How do I know I'm not creating a God in my own image then? Look, how many times have you been in confusion on something? And you're really wrestling. You're really wrestling with the right thing to do and what does God require, and you're in confusion about it, and you pray and you open the scriptures and boom, it hits so clearly. It's just like all the fog lifts, everything just disappears and all is well. You know what you have to do. Why? Because of the word of God. Great deception to move us away from the authority of what is written. What is written is God's life-giving word. What is written is in harmony with the Holy Spirit. What is written is in harmony with the risen Jesus, the living word. All right, we've got a bunch of calls. We'll get to you on the other side of the break. For now, a reminder that the entire 2 hours of the broadcast will be available later today on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Also, if you're in the D.C. area, you can get all 2 hours after the earthquake, all 2 hours on WAVA's AM station from 6 to 8 tonight. We have a really important resource at a super low price this week. Over 20 hours of teaching on revival, principles of revival. What is revival? What brings revival? How does God move in the midst of revival? On a CD for your MP3 player or your computer. Plus, over 10 hours of teaching on Jesus' revolution and how we are to live and what God is calling us to do, inspiring, challenging material on another CD. They normally sell for $20 each. It's over 30 hours of material, but you can get the two together for $20, and we'll pay the postage on it. But call us now at 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of this. The CDs on revival and Jesus' revolution, really life-changing stuff, over 30 hours of material, 1-800-278-9978 or on our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Let's go for it, friends. Let's do what God is calling us to do.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It's a joy, friends, to be with you today on the Line of Fire broadcast as we talk in all seriousness about serious deceptions in the body. Now, look, let's be frank about this. No one is knowingly deceived, right? No one is willingly deceived. There's the saying, the problem with deception is it's very deceiving. I have seen many denominational names, many local church names, but I have never seen the first church of the deceived or the first congregation of the misled. No one is knowingly conned. No one is knowingly misled, obviously. And if we didn't think we were each right, we wouldn't do what we're doing and believe what we're believing. The question is, what makes me so sure I'm right? What makes you so sure you're right? That's why I hold to certain things very, very deeply and very, very dearly that are foundational to me and that I've studied intensely enough to be utterly committed to in that sense by life or by death, you know, to give my life to. There are plenty of other areas where, hey, you have your view, you may be right, I have my view, let's discuss it. Jesus warned about deception, didn't he? Repeatedly in Matthew 24 in particular. Paul warned about deception over and over. Read it in 1 Corinthians 6, read it in Ephesians 5, read it in Galatians, just over and over. James warned about it. Jacob in James 1, don't deceive yourselves. Peter warns about it, especially in 2 Peter. So this is pervasive in Scripture, so we need to ask ourselves, am I believing what's in the Word? Am I basing my theology ultimately on what's written in the Word? Can I really be sure that I am on a solid foundation? 866-34-TRUTH. Paul, near San Antonio, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Where do you put some of the worst deceptions in the church today?
I'd have to say some of the things that you've already kind of pointed out seem pretty germane. I don't think churches are preparing people to feed themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You made a couple of good comments about accountability, like practicing homosexual couples in a church and using feeling or emotion to try to discern whether that's right or wrong. I think you were dead on when you were saying you go to the Scripture first.
Let me say this. For those of us who are charismatic, we have a greater danger to be deceived by experiences because we might believe in those things more. In other words, someone who doesn't believe in tongues or prophecy today or healing for today, then they're not necessarily moved by those things. Whereas you have someone else say, look, come to our gay church and we flow in the Spirit. And we have prophetic. We have prophetic words.
Like the Bereans. You know, obviously, if you're more charismatic, you may not be more honorable like the Bereans who tested these words daily to see if they were true.
But likewise,
you may just be in the Scripture and reading it, and you know, if you're brought up in a way that views it as anachronistic, where you don't think that God's still moving those ways today. I mean, He tells us those are signatures of His disciples. They cast out demons. They heal the sick, you know.
Yeah, and let me just jump in because we have a break coming. But yeah, absolutely. There's another deception, which is saying God doesn't move today, and when He really does move, rejecting it. So absolutely, that's another deception. But you know, the thing that I like best about the Bereans in Acts 17 is, as I read it, when it speaks about the noble spirit they had and how that they welcomed Paul, they weren't skeptics or critics. They loved God and they loved His word. So they would be very glad if Paul was right. They would be very glad to welcome what Paul was saying if he was actually right, but they had to test it by the word, as opposed to being predisposed to being cynical, skeptical, throwing the thing out, saying we're going to prove our point by the word. Hey, Paul, got to go. We got a break. Thanks for weighing in. Back with your calls on the other side of the break. Let's not be deceived, friends. God has given us everything we need to walk in moral sanity and spiritual clarity.
Fire we plead, and the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
What a day to have mild earthquake reports as we're talking about deceptions in the body and experience trumping scripture and the authority of the word and God's word being a living, life-breathing word and not just a dead letter. Randy, who serves in our ministry here, said that his wife's mom just called. She works in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Her building was shaking pretty hard. And reports from where she lives, 45 minutes further north in Newport, Pennsylvania, of shaking. And then I got a report from one of our listeners in Boston. He said, I'm in Boston. I felt it. My chair rolled, and I went, what is that? Very interesting. I'm not going to get earthquake reports from all of you listening in different parts of the country. But it reminds us, it reminds me, when you have supernatural confirmation. You know, Amos, it says that he prophesied 2 years before the earthquake. In other words, he brought these words of judgment, and the Lion of Judah is going to roar. God's going to speak, and next, bro, earthquake. That got the attention of the nation. God speaks in these ways. I'm not saying every earthquake is from the Lord. That's not my point. But God can speak through nature, and God can speak through miraculous experience, and he often does. But it is to confirm his written word, not to contradict it, and not to modify it. That's why, as I preach and teach on revival, and I've been involved in true revival movements, that's why you test everything by the lasting fruit and line it up with Scripture. In other words, if people jump and shout and weep and fall to the floor, maybe they're having an experience from God. Maybe they're just getting emotional. Maybe they're copying other people. Maybe it's demonic power. Maybe they've got a mental issue. Maybe, who knows? However, when you see that their lives are changed and they love the Jesus of the Scriptures and they're walking in obedience to the Word of God and they're bearing holy fruit, and you say, well, that was the Holy Spirit who did the work. Donald in Yonkers, New York, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you, Dr. Brown, for bringing up the issues that we need to discuss and think about. And I love you for that, brother. And
you're welcome, sir.
Hear ye the word of the living God, who says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is a living word that should tell you he's not dead, he's alive and living. And this word that we have, that we should cherish, which is the most important book that you can have, is that which tells us how we should live, what has happened in the past, what is happening here in the present, and what will happen in the future. It is the only one, the only word that is true.
Absolutely.
And it is very powerful.
Absolutely.
Your question about being deceived, I find a great deception in the Marianic movement, whereby the Pope himself endorses a movement of worshiping Mary on the same level as Jesus the Christ himself, and that's horrible to me.
Yeah, of course, we have many Catholic friends listening, and some don't recognize the issue of exalting Mary to a godlike stature, but that is standard in Catholicism. So right. there's nothing new in terms of that being a deception, but right. To the extent it spreads, then it's dangerous. You know, Donald, we had one of our students in our ministry school on Long Island many, many years ago went to Guatemala to do some missions work, and he came back with a picture. He actually showed it to me, and I could read the Spanish enough to understand what it was saying, but it was an Easter parade in Guatemala, and they had a coffin with Jesus being represented as being in the coffin, and in front of that was Mary on a throne, and it said in Spanish, under the throne, Mary, the same yesterday, today and forever. Talk about deception. Hey, I'm going to run, get some other calls, but thank you, sir, for weighing in. 866-34-TRUTH. Milton in Reston, Virginia, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Yes, how are you doing, doctor? Glad to listen to your station again. I have a Bible study at the jail, and I've been going there for some time. I think one of the greatest deceptions that I've seen with many of the men there is the idea of say this sinner's prayer after me. And when they're done, of course, they say, now you're a Christian. I think many of the people have been confused by it and deceived by it for sure. And they, many of them have said, you know, later, God just didn't work for me. And, you know, they're absolutely right. God never did do the work to start with. We have to realize, as you know, the Holy Spirit is the one that gives us that new life. And without it, we're not born again. So I think it's a tragedy that many, many people are doing this today.
Altar calls
can come along the same line to some degree as well. They go to an altar call to get typed up or whatever. I've seen that happen, and then you see them still living the same old life. There has to be a change.
Yeah, and here's the nature of the deception. It's not that I have to do all kinds of good works and improve myself in order to be accepted by God. Absolutely not. That's not the gospel. But the notion that I just say these words and something happens without genuine faith and looking to God to save me from my sins, that you can pray that prayer all you want. You can pray that prayer 10 times a day. It's not going to do anything, especially when there's no understanding behind it. When you tell someone to pray a prayer, they don't even know what it means or what they're saying. And there's no consciousness of sin. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for what? What are we even asking forgiveness for? You know? So, yeah, many times people don't realize the nature of that deception because on their way to being saved, they prayed that prayer. You know, they're in church circles. Someone had them pray the prayer. And then over a period of weeks and months, they genuinely came to know Jesus and thought, well, that must have started it. Well, that was on the path. But unless there's genuine saving faith, genuinely putting my trust in Jesus to save me from my sins and receiving him as Lord, you can say the prayer all you want. And yes, altar calls can play into the deception to the extent you think going forward does something. If going forward is my way of publicly confessing and publicly acknowledging, that's wonderful. If going forward is my way of leaving everything, following Jesus, wonderful. But when we were in Pensacola, Florida, Milton, for a number of years, I heard someone testify, and I didn't understand what they were saying. I had to process it, but it was part of the Southern Bible Belt culture. This young lady said she was at the service Wednesday night, and she was getting baptized, and this is when she's giving her testimony. She'd been on drugs, messed up, whatever. She said she came to the service, and she liked what was happening so much, she went up and got saved. And she said, then I came a few days later and I got saved again. And I thought, what is she talking? Got saved again. What does she mean? Then I realized that was her terminology for responding to an altar call. That was, quote, getting saved. Now, thankfully, she did actually meet the Lord. But, yeah, absolutely right and very prevalent. It's been for decades and continues to be. Thank you for weighing in, sir. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. And, you know, like you said, if we truly believe in the power of the gospel and the power of the Spirit, then we don't have to worry about somebody coercing us because God himself will do it. Thank you very much.
All right, God bless you, man. Thank you. All right, I've got time for another call here. Obadiah in Uptown Manhattan.
Praise the Lord. God bless you. Thank you for your ministry. It's wonderful.
Well, God bless you. Thanks.
Yeah, you know, this thing about deception is very, very important, like you're bringing it out. It's wonderful, just like in Deuteronomy 18, Moses gives the sign, and then the false sign in Deuteronomy 13, just like you said. But, you know, take the miracle of Elijah when he went up on the mountain, pulled fire down from heaven, and then the Lord says, in the last days, the enemy will be able to call down fire from heaven in the same way. Now, you see those two miracles. They look exactly alike. But the difference is, between a true miracle and a false miracle, the miracle that glorifies God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that's a true miracle. No matter what you see, even if you see a person raised from the dead, and if the miracle is attributed to a man or to a thing or to a religion, believe me, it's false.
Yes, sir.
God is testing us, just like you said.
Yeah, God can do something genuine, Obadiah, and then we try to take credit for it. Or put it under the heading of our ministry or our religion or our denomination, and at that point, God will be grieved and move away from what he's doing. But, yeah, if the fire falls and doesn't glorify the one true God, then it is false fire.
It's false, no matter what you see, no matter what you see, if it does not glorify our living God,
it's not true, no matter what you see. If, like I said, a man raised from the dead, it doesn't matter. If it, look, Jesus said in Mark 9:38, John says, Lord, we saw a man casting out devils in your name, and we forbade him because he doesn't follow us. And Jesus said, don't forbid him. Nobody will do a miracle in my name who can lightly speak evil of me.
Right, so if it's glorifying Jesus, even if this guy is not in my particular little group, if it's glorifying Jesus, amen. Hey, got to go. Thank you for the call, sir. All right, we'll be back with more of your calls. Stay with us.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, getting more and more earthquake-related reports. Just got an email. Someone felt it in Indiana. Our older daughter working in Maryland, Montgomery County, Maryland. She went out of the building there. They walked outside their offices. Place was shaking. Extraordinary. Anyway, we'll find out more. Don't want to devote all my time to earthquake reports. Those just tuning in, it started with my office shaking right before we started the show, and we were out in the hallway in the building saying, hey, do you feel that? You feel that? I thought it was some tiny little thing, but apparently a more major 5.9 on the Richter scale quake felt in different parts of America. 866-342. We're talking about prevalent deceptions in the body today. The main thing I've focused on this hour, along with your calls, is the deception that experience trumps scripture. That the word may say this, but I had this experience. But we feel the spirit moving. That this is happening or that is happening. Even when the word is against, I believe that the Holy Spirit's saying this is okay. I actually heard of a couple. Check this out. There was a professor at Oral Roberts University. And this will be more relevant to charismatics as well, and my non-charismatic friends will shake your heads all the more in astonishment. A professor at Oral Roberts University, a man and woman come to him for prayer, and they said, would you please pray for us? Would you please pray for us that God would bless our relationship? So he goes to pray for them and said, you're married? Something felt funny. And they said, oh, yes, we're married. So he went to pray for them again, and something felt funny. He said, are you married to each other? I mean, who would think of asking that? And they looked at each other and said, well, no, we're not married to each other. We're in the process of getting divorces from our spouses. But before we have sex, we pray in tongues together and we really feel the Spirit. We know God's in this relationship. What deception. Well, you can pray in tongues till the cows come home. You can prophesy. You can heal the sick. But adultery is sin. A cloud can come down in your room. Your room can shake. You can be levitated. But the word of God is the word of God. And that is our authority. And then when people say, well, that's just the dead letter, that now they are really dishonoring God in the strongest possible way. Frank in Staten Island, you want to take exception to something about Roman Catholic teaching? So please go for it, sir.
Yes. I let me first say I did feel the earthquake here in Staten Island pretty good.
Wow. Okay.
Before you made a statement that you said that the Catholic Church has always endorsed the worship of Mary.
Well, not always, but for centuries.
Well, that's not correct at all, Professor Brown, because what the Catholic Church endorses is the veneration, the honor of Mary and the saints, never worship. The worship is what would be called in the ancient language latria, which is due to is directed toward God alone. Veneration and honor is directed toward the saints. And as a matter of fact, the ancient Coleridians were, in fact, worshiping Mary, and they were excommunicated for that. So I think we have to get our language correct.
Yeah, let me ask you this, Frank, okay?
Yes.
Only because I don't want to major on this subject here. That's why I went through it quickly with the previous caller. But when I saw what was on your mind, I wanted to allow you to weigh in.
Sure.
Would you say that in popular Catholicism, there are many Catholics who do worship Mary? In the way that only God should be worshipped?
if there are Catholics that are worshiping Mary in the way that only God should be worshiping, or God should be worshipped, they are not following the teachings of the Catholic Church.
Okay,
that's my point. The Catholic Church does not teach that.
All right, that's what I'm asking. All right, maybe we'll get into that subject at another time, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to weigh in. So thanks for calling, Frank. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Brown.
All right, God bless you. Sure thing. All right, and we'll take up the Mary issue another day, but I wanted to allow Frank to weigh in there as a Catholic listener. Suzanne in North Boston, Massachusetts, thanks for calling us.
Yes, hello, thank you.
Hello.
I am calling because I think the greatest deception, one of the greatest deceptions we're experiencing in the church is not understanding that when the Lord wants to speak, he will use unusual signs and circumstances in his word and in circumstances like an earthquake, like a 9/11, which we all know means pay attention, call, emergency. And I just wanted to read from Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. A lion has roared who will not fear. The Lord has spoken, who can but prophesy? He loves us, and I think the deception is that we think nothing will happen. But what if a 9/11 means pay attention, world? What if a Superman falling and is paralyzed is an ironic, just pay attention? What if a Kate Winslet from The Rose, from Titanic, ends up saving today in headline news? She saves an elderly woman from a fire on a man-made island called Paradise Necker Island. And the owner of that is the owner of a defiled rebel, Virgin Airlines. There's just a message that just seems so much that the Lord is wanting to say, children, you are saved to be saved. Rose on Titanic, though fictional.
All right, hey Suzanne, I just got to jump in.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's all right. We're almost out of time, but thank you for weighing in. Look, the major takeaway, they're obviously news items, and you try to read something into it as God speaking through it. But there is no question that God can speak through natural disasters, regardless of the cause of the natural disaster. Was it just natural, just the fallen state of the earth? Was it divine judgment? Was it a result of human sin defiling the earth? Was it somehow something Satan had power with? Whatever the case is, there's no question that when things happen on a cataclysmic nature, that should cause us to examine our own lives and to recognize our own frailty and to turn to the one true God who is the judge of the living and of the dead. So by all means, let us pay attention to what God is saying, first and foremost through his written word, and then by his spirit in conformity to that word. And by holding to that and living a life clean in his sight, we can avoid deception. Take advantage of the special resources we have, word-based, life-changing principles of revival, over 20 hours of teaching, then over 10 hours of teaching on Jesus Revolution. These teachings of mine that we did a few years back and I'll put out in CD form for your computer MP3 player will inspire you and challenge you and inform you and really cause you to dig deeper in God and perhaps even bring you into a new place in God. You can get them at a greatly reduced price for just $20 for over 30 hours of teaching, and we'll pay the postage. But call us at 1-800-278-9978. All right? Take advantage of this, and you'll be blessing us and helping us as well as we get these out to you. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, there's a tremendous amount of deception in the world today. And sadly, there's a great amount of deception within the church as well. But if we hold fast to that which God has spoken infallibly and clearly in his word, and as we live a life in conformity with that word, we will never be deceived. Jesus, Paul, Peter, and James all warned against deception. What are some of the great deceptions in the church today?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Right before the first hour, 1 hour ago, my office here, right outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, was trembling. We had a minor tremor here, then found out it was more concentrated in Maryland, Virginia area. We've since gotten reports of people feeling a shake in Indiana, people feeling something in Boston. So this was a 5.9 on the Richter scale. First time I can remember experiencing something like that. Again, I am not from California or other parts of the world or country that are earthquake prone, but it just brought a little extra sobriety to the show as we talk about deception, as we talk about major deception in the body today. I'm going to talk about a number of critically important issues and open them up scripturally and tell you why these are so dangerous. But here's what I'd like to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, the number to call. What do you personally feel are some of the greatest deceptions in the church today? What do you personally feel are some of the most prominent deceptions that are out there that are literally bringing people into serious error? I have no fear of deception as long as I am on guard against deception. I have no fear of deception as long as I am on guard against deception. When the Word of God urges me, James, Jacob, the first chapter, not to deceive myself, but to be a doer of the Word and not just a hearer, it's giving me the antidote. It's giving me the cure. When Paul in 1 Corinthians 6 and Ephesians 5 and other passages says, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. People who live a certain way will not enter the kingdom. Well, I know as long as I am not cultivating those sins in my life and willfully practicing those things in disobedience to God, that I am not going down that dangerous path. When Jesus warns against false prophets and false miracle workers, again, counterfeit miracles presupposes true miracles. That does not present itself to me as him saying, beware of all miracles. It's saying there will be miracles. Beware of false miracles. Beware of false prophets. It's certainly relevant before the Second Temple was destroyed. One generation after the time of Jesus, I believe it will be especially relevant the closer we get to the end of the age. But as long as I understand that miracles only confirm what is written in the Word and do not confirm something outside of the Word, if some man works some miracle and says to follow me as opposed to follow Jesus, you don't follow them. If someone works a miracle and then says, okay, God's told me I'm going to have 10 brides and you're one of them, you don't follow that person. I heard a testimony from a man who's a well-known preacher in America. Again, I'm just repeating his story. I can't verify it. I wasn't there. But he said that he and his wife were new believers, and they went to a meeting where Jim Jones was speaking. Jim Jones, who ended up leading hundreds of his followers into that tragic suicide in Guyana years ago. And this was a mass murder, basically. They said, they heard him say, you don't need the Word of God, you have me. Something to that effect. You don't need the Word of God, you have me, a prophet of God. And they looked at each other. They were new believers. And they got up. They said, something's funny here. Something's funny here. And they left. The first hour, I talked about the error and the deception of believing that miracles or experience trump the Word of God or modify the Word of God. And then when we actually say, but look, we've got to hold to what's written, people turn around and say, well, what's written, that's just the dead letter. We serve the living Christ, not the dead letter. I want to talk about a couple more deceptions now. One is that God doesn't care about conduct. God doesn't see our conduct. God doesn't see our sin. And another deception that says that the grace of God doesn't actually produce a change in our lives or doesn't necessarily produce a change in our lives. What do you think are some of the great deceptions that are out there today? 866-34-TRUTH. Stay tuned. We will be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Paul said, do not be deceived. Don't let anyone deceive you with empty words. So what's that telling me? It's telling me that there's a danger of deception. It's telling me that deception comes in subtle ways. Does anyone knock at your door and say, I'm here with a false religion and I'm here to deceive you? Does anyone do that? Does anyone say it's some notorious used car lot? Say, yeah, I got a real lemon here, and I'm going to tell you a lie about it and say that an old lady just drove it to church back and forth and only has 3,000 miles on it. I'm going to tell you that to get you to buy this lemon. No, con man don't openly con you. Deceivers don't openly deceive you. They cloak things in such a way that it sounds good, it feels good, it tastes good, looks good, has a certain appeal to it, maybe even uses a verse here or there, and yet it is ultimately contrary to God's ways, God's word. 866-34-TRUTH. We're talking about major deception today. What do you personally feel are the most serious deceptions that are out there in the body today? AskDrBrown.org. Click on the line of fire. Later today, you'll be able to listen to both hours of the broadcast, the first hour, which is heard in different parts of the country, and this hour. And remember, it is August 23rd. I am looking at my clock with the date on it to confirm that my mind is telling me the right thing. It is Tuesday. It is August 23rd. And that means tonight we have our very first class on Principles of Revival at Fire School of Ministry. The very first time we've been holding night classes in this way in our history. We're really excited to offer it. Meet me at Fire Church tonight at 7 o'clock. Get there a few minutes early to sign up for the class. For info, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on Fire School of Ministry. The deception that I want to focus on now is the idea that God doesn't care about conduct. As long as you're not hurting someone, if you love God, that you love your neighbor in some nebulous kind of way, then he doesn't care about other things. He doesn't care about conduct. I've had people say to me he doesn't see sexual orientation, meaning if it's a homosexual relationship or a heterosexual relationship or a bisexual relationship, he doesn't see that. I've had others tell me God doesn't care about your sexual organs, just talking about sexual sins. I've had people tell me God's not a God of rules and regulations. You're going to lay that trip on me. I follow the living word. And a guy told me the other day, look, you can worship the word instead of worshiping Jesus. Like, what are you talking about? I'm not talking about some bibliolatry where I bow down to the Bible, the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible, as opposed to the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the very word of God tells us that God calls us to change, that God requires change. And there's verse after verse. Oh, it's just the letter of the... No. The letter of the law is externally imposed religion. The letter of the law is laws without love. The letter of the law, legalism, laws without love, rules without relationship, standards without a savior. That is the letter of the law. That is legalism. That is dead religion. God's way is to change us from the inside out. But let me say emphatically, he changes us. And when someone quotes scripture, it's one thing to bash somebody over the head in a condemning way to justify your point by just quoting verses in rapid fire without saying, are these verses applicable to the situation? Do these verses speak to the situation? Because if it's God's word being quoted properly, it's true. But it's another thing, friends, when someone's saying, well, God doesn't care about how I live. I mean, look, I'm saved. Salvation is by grace. Salvation is all by grace and faith. It's not by works. And God's not a God of rules and regulations. I love him, and that's enough. And these two people love each other. Doesn't matter if they're married. Doesn't matter if they're homosexual, if they're heterosexual, if they're living together out of wedlock as a man and a woman. It doesn't matter. Only thing that matters if they love each other. I've had people throw this junk at me for years, but increasingly so, and more than I can ever remember in my believing life, which is just about 40 years now in the Lord. People are throwing off the authority of Scripture, throwing off the testimony of Scripture, throwing off the call to holiness, throwing off the call to purity, throwing off the call to walk in obedience, and instead saying, well, God's not a God of rules and regulations. That's not the God that I serve. Not an angry God of rules and regulations. So verses like this, for example, just get thrown out the window. Therefore, Paul writes, Ephesians 5, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Messiah loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So notice the calling. It's not rules and regulations, but be imitators of God. God is holy. Those of you that sing the hymns know the old hymn, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Those who sing the more contemporary songs, there are many songs in which we extol God's holiness. There's one, Holy is the Lord. In fact, sometimes people get up on their feet and jump and dance as they sing that song, Holy is the Lord. Can I ask you a question? When you sing the old hymn, Holy, 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 do you sing it with a sour face? Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. What drudgery, what misery, terrible. When the elders and the angels before the throne in Revelation 4 or in Isaiah 6, when they cry out, Kadosh, 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 Holy, Holy, Holy is the Lord of hosts, do they do so? This is miserable, terrible, this is drudgery. This is hell. They call it heaven. This is hell. No, they're in awestruck wonder. They're in awestruck wonder. He's holy. He's the perfection of everything good. He's the perfection of everything wonderful. One of the Salvation Army leaders, one of the early leaders, Samuel Logan Brangle, said, holiness is pure love. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Well, now here's where Paul gets downright legalistic. Here's where Paul starts throwing rules and regulations. No, here's where Paul continues his wonderful calling to us to be imitators of God and to walk in love just as Christ loved us. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. This is the word. This is the high and holy calling that we have. And it is a deception to say that God's not a God of rules and regulations, and God doesn't care about conduct, and God just cares about the condition of the heart. If the heart is changed, the life will be different. If the heart is changed, the life will be different. Here's what Paul writes. If you have an issue with this, take it up with God and not with me. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral, in other words, people who practice this is their lifestyle, this is what they give themselves to, this is who they live. I used to be a drug user. Oh, I could be nice to people here and there. I remember saying, if there's a God, he'll know that I'm a nice guy, that if I see an old woman, you know, coming to a store, I'll open the door for her. Actually, I remember being sick, crazily high, sickeningly high with some drugs or huffing diesel gas or some stupid thing. My friends have been preaching to me in previous days. They've just gotten to know the Lord. And I said, if there's a God, he'll know I'm a nice person, good heart. Now, if I see an old woman, I'll open the door for going into a store and there's some bum on the street, I'll give him a nickel. Yeah, I actually felt it. While at the same time, I'm shooting heroin, abusing my body, had stolen money from my own father, lied, was as ungodly and unclean as I could be, wicked, proud, evil tongue. He knows I have a good heart. What nonsense. I was a practicing sinner. Paul says, you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, in other words, this is who you are, this is your lifestyle, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Is that rules and regulations, or is God simply saying, this is the way in? This is the way to obedience, and I call you to obedience. Is it rules and regulations when it says in Hebrews 12 that with all holiness no one will see the Lord? Is it rules and regulations when Jesus says in Matthew 5 that it's the pure in heart who will see God? And he says later in Matthew 5 that if your right hand causes you to sin or your right eye causes you to sin, cut it off, gouge it out, throw it away, using metaphorical language to underscore how serious this is? This is a good and wonderful calling. How many husbands say to, you know, on their wedding day, you mean I can't go with my old girlfriends and I can't sleep around anymore? Correct. And if you're still thinking about that, you got no right getting married, sir. What a joy, what a privilege to give yourself over to your spouse and your spouse to you so the husband and wife can be one before the Lord. We give ourselves over to obedience to God. It's our high calling. It's our privilege. It's what sons and daughters of God do. Paul writes, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Very serious deception in the body, that God does not care about our conduct, that God does not see our deeds in Jesus, that we are automatically righteous, and no matter how we live, doesn't matter. Very serious deception, refuted by really the whole Bible.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, all the way back in the early 90s, I dealt with some of these deceptions in the body, which you could call a counterfeit grace message. I've been thinking of just writing a whole book on the subject of counterfeit grace, which is really at an epidemic level, more than I've ever seen, in my 40 years in the Lord. But I dealt with these a number of places. One in my book, It's Time to Rock the Boat. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. What do you feel are the most serious deceptions that are in the body today? AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for discussion there. And there's a chapter in the book, It's Time to Rock the Boat, called Counterfeit Grace. By the way, for those wanting the book, it's been reprinted together with Whatever Happened to the Power of God. So two of the most important, compelling books the Lord ever gave me, two volumes together for the price of one. You can get that online through our bookstore or any other online book dealer. In the chapter Counterfeit Grace, I said this: there's a message sweeping through the body today. Famous pastors are teaching it, best-selling authors are espousing it, leading theologians are defending it, and the Apostle Paul warned us against it three separate times. To the Corinthians, he wrote, "Do not be deceived," 1 Corinthians 6:9. To the Galatians, he wrote, "I warn you as I did before," Galatians 5:21. To the Ephesians, he wrote, "Let no one deceive you with empty words." What was this great deception? What erroneous doctrine was Paul fighting in such strong language and with such great appeals? It was the teaching that says, since you didn't do anything to earn your salvation, you can't do anything to lose it. No matter how you live, no matter what you do or don't do, no matter how far you walk away from God, if you're saved, you're saved. Otherwise, grace would not be grace. That is not grace according to the scriptures. That is counterfeit grace, and it is producing what some have called counterfeit conversions. Jude also sounded the alarm. Judah, his Hebrew name. Jude also sounded the alarm, warning the saints in no uncertain terms. For certain men, whose condemnation was written about long ago, have secretly slipped in among you. They are godless men who changed the grace of our God into a license for immorality. May I repeat that? They are godless men who change the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord. Now, here's the point. It is not to say that before you can be saved, you have to change your behavior. And you have to become a good person. And once you're a good person long enough, God will accept you. No, that's not the gospel. Nor is it to say if you ever sin once you're saved, you're not saved. That's not the gospel. What it is to say is that if we say we can sin and have the Savior too, if we say we can choose sin and disobedience and follow Jesus at the same time, if we say God already sees me as righteous and he doesn't care about my conduct, we are deceived. And to the extent we tell it to others, we are deceiving others. You know what I've often found fascinating? Yes, I, like you, am a recipient of God's grace. Yes, I, like you, am a recipient of God's grace before I was saved, in getting saved, and since I've been saved. Yes, I, like you, have had to ask God to forgive me, as you've had to ask God to forgive you. I've had to ask him to forgive me many a time since I've been saved. Sometimes in the course of a day, realize I fell short here, was prayerless there, thought a thought I shouldn't think there, had a wrong attitude towards someone there, wasted time. Lord, forgive me. Lord, wash me, cleanse me. As I'm walking in the light and seeking to move forward and seeking to please God and seeking to do what's right in his sight. Okay? So that's the direction we're moving in, which is why we don't pursue that sin. which is why we don't pursue that wrong attitude, which is why we turn away from that wasting of time and ask God to forgive us for being poor stewards and turn to Him. But here's what I've noticed. I've noticed that sometimes people who allowed blatant sin into their lives, people who destroyed a marriage over their own sin, people who destroyed a church or a ministry over their own sin, will now turn around and preach an extreme grace message, which is not really grace. We'll preach an extreme message, and you have to say, are you doing this to justify what happened in your own life? How many times do you hear this? How many times do you see this? I'm not saying this to throw stones at people who have fallen. I'm not saying this from some position of moral superiority, looking down my long religious nose, or my large Jewish religious nose, and telling people, I'm better than you. No, I'm saying that it's a terrible shame when we fall short and now modify our message to justify our conduct. Can I repeat that? It is a terrible shame when we fall short and then modify our message to justify our conduct. And I've never seen it as much as I have now. Obviously, the fact I was writing about it in the early 90s meant it was prevalent then. The fact that Jude warned about it in the first century meant it was prevalent. The fact that leaders through the centuries have warned about it means that the thing has always been there. An abuse of grace, a misunderstanding of grace, a cheapening of grace. So as Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, it's not really grace at all. But what I hear so much these days is when you quote scripture to people and say, but the word says this, but Jesus spoke this, but Paul wrote this, but the Holy Spirit said this here or there in the scriptures, that they'll say, you're putting me under bondage, man. That's bondage. That's condemnation. When we bring a word that brings conviction, instead of saying, you know, the Lord's convicting me through his word, I need to repent and I need to give this habit up and I need to turn from this thing and I need to get right with God and receive his forgiveness, instead of that, what do? Well, that's the letter of the law. Here's a simple way to remember this, the liberty that we have. Very, very simple. Jesus sets us free from sin, not free to sin. If something is wrong in the sight of God, if something is unclean in the sight of God, if something is despicable in the sight of God, I'm not free to do it. I'm free from doing it. You know, think of it like this. When you're really in love, you know, a husband really loving his wife, and someone says, well, the Lord doesn't care. You're free to be with anyone you want. No, I want to be with my wife, and she wants to be with me. We're free to obey. And if someone told a parent, well, you're free to beat your kid, I don't want to beat my kid. I'll discipline my kid wisely. I'm not going to beat my kid. I love my kid. We are not free to sin. We are free from sin. That's the freedom that we have. And when we allow ourselves to get entangled with sin, there's the power of the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit to wash us clean and to transform us so that we can now live a life well-pleasing in the sight of God. I'm going to open this up some more, talk some more about counterfeit grace in the next hour and take your calls about the greatest deceptions current prevalent in the body today. Remember, the resource that we're offering this week is more teaching per dollar than anything we've ever done. And I think it will really impact you, change you, inspire you. Over 16 hours, well, actually over 20 hours on revival, principles of revival. What is true revival? How does God move? And what are things that get in the way of revival? What can we do to see true revival come? Inspiring teaching from the word and from history. And then over 10 hours on Jesus' revolution, what it really means to follow him, the call to go for it, and the real challenge about how we live this thing out. I mean, stuff that'll really minister to you in a practical, life-changing way. We've put these together on two CDs, which are only $20 each. Two CDs for the price of one, and we'll pay the postage. So over 30 hours of teaching for just $20, postage paid for your computer or MP3 player on CD. Call us at 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of this offer. All right? 1-800-278-9978. I trust you'll be blessed by it, helped by it, edified by it. 1-800-278-9978. We return more on the subject of deception.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Deception. The problem with deception is it's very deceiving. The problem with deception is it comes in such a way that it has a certain appeal and tells you that it's right, it's true, it's beautiful, it won't hurt you. And the next thing we know, this thing has us in its grasp. What are some of the biggest and worst deceptions in the body today? Michael Brown, thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Here's what I covered in the first 90 minutes of the broadcast today to catch you up and then to move on with where we're going. I covered the deception that experience trumps the word or experience modifies the word. And I've been interacting with folks who say that they're gay Christians, they love Jesus, but they're in active homosexual relations. They say promiscuity is wrong, or I'm just committed to my partner, but I love the Lord, I'm saved. And I say, but yeah, but this scripture, that scripture, and they'll come back to me with, no, but if you come in our midst, if you worship with us, you'll feel the Spirit. You'll feel something. Some would say the gifts of the Spirit operate in our midst. That's a sure proof that God is with us. Well, if it contradicts the word, it's either counterfeit or it's emotional, or it's coincidence, or it's manufactured. If it contradicts the word, that experience is not from above. I have no issue with the Holy Spirit moving in the midst of, quote, gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender Christians to draw them fully to the truth and to draw them to freedom and deliverance and wholeness. But if it is to confirm homosexual practice, which the Word of God plainly rejects, then all the experiences in the world don't confirm it. That's one of the tests God gives us. Will we really follow Him? Will we really follow what was written? Or will we believe a sign or a wonder, a miracle or a voice or experience or whatever? Or a fortune cookie, for that matter. Another deception that relates to this is when we come back and give people scripture. When we come back and say, but the word says this, that they say, well, that's just the dead letter. I follow the living word, Jesus, not the dead letter. Well, the problem is, how do you know who the living word Jesus is, if not for what's said about him in the written word? How do you know that the, quote, living word that you relate to is the real Jesus? How do you know it's not a Jesus who's the figment of your own imagination or my own imagination? How do I know that I'm not creating a God in my own image? How do I know that I'm not creating a God who will smile on my conduct and say it's no problem, it's okay, it's fine? Sure, you found someone else you like, go ahead and divorce your wife. Go ahead and take off with that other person. Sure, it's fine. I feel the Lord in it. I married the wrong person. God showed me that. You can have all the visions, dreams you want. That's contrary to the Word. And the Word of God, as written, is a living Word. The Word of God, as written, is spirit and life. The Word of God, as written, is a tree of life. Another deception, deception that God doesn't care about my conduct. God doesn't care about how I live. He doesn't want me murdering people, but if I'm not hurting people, then he's not a God of rules and regulations. He's not this heavenly policeman nitpicking my life. Well, he's not some heavenly policeman, but he is a holy God. And he calls us to be holy because he's holy. Because sin is bad for us and holiness is good for us. And holiness is being like him. And we've been brought into his family. And that then leads to the deception that God's grace doesn't actually change us. That God's grace forgives us. That God's grace somehow covers our sins, that God's grace is the antidote for our sins in terms of forgiveness, in terms of coming into relationship with God. However, God's grace doesn't actually change us. Let me say again, that is a deception. If you really experience God's grace, you will be changed. If you really experience God's grace in your life, not only will you be forgiven of your sin, but you will now have a heart to serve the Lord. So we're going to open this up. We're going to pursue this and take your calls. What do you think are some of the biggest deceptions in the church today? 866-34-TRUTH.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just noticed some of our grads posted a quote of me just from the radio broadcast moments ago. It's a terrible shame when we fall short of God's word and modify our message to justify ourselves. I think I said modify our message to justify our conduct. So, great. Thanks for noting that and copying that out there on Facebook and reminding me of what I just said as well, because I think it's something we all need to examine. We all need to consider. Am I modifying the message of the word of God so as to justify my conduct? 866-34-TRUTH. Great deception in the body today. Okay, just another reminder, last reminder I can give tonight, just three and a half hours. It's not a lot of time. A lot to do before that. 3.5 hours, we start our night classes at Fire School of Ministry, Fire Leadership Institute, right near Charlotte Motor Speedway. I'm doing 8 weeks on Principles of Revival, God willing, followed by 8 weeks on Jeremiah and Prophetic Ministry. So for info, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on Fire School of Ministry. And then this Saturday, our outreach event, God Has a Better Way, in the midst of the Charlotte Pride event. Join us from 12 to 3 on that day. And then for our outreach concert, 7 o'clock at night. Should be a wonderful time together. Go to GodHasABetterWay.com for more information. What do I mean by the deception that God's grace doesn't change us? It is the idea that a change of life is not part of salvation. That a change of life does not, that being born again does not actually or necessarily change the life. Very serious deception. That once I'm saved, I can continue to live in sin because I'm saved by grace without recognizing that grace changes us. Listen to what Alexander McLaren said in the 1800s. I'm quite sure that the root of 9/10 of all the heresies that have ever afflicted the Christian church and are the cause of the weakness of so much popular Christianity is none other than the failure adequately to recognize the universality and the gravity of transgression. If a word comes to you, calls itself God's message, does not start with man's sin, nor put in the forefront of its utterances the way by which the dominion of that sin can be broken in your own heart and the penalties of that sin in your present and future life can be swept away, it is condemned. It's ipso facto. The very fact itself is not a gospel from God or fit for men. In other words, if it's not a message that makes clear the ugliness, the danger, the destruction of sin, and how there is a true remedy for sin in Jesus, there is a true remedy for sin, forgiveness and transformation. If we don't preach that, if we just preach Jesus is the path to a happier life, or Jesus is the path to a prosperous life, or Jesus is the path to your personal dreams becoming fulfilled, that's not the gospel. And it's like putting a Band-Aid on a cancer patient and sending them home with a beautiful bouquet of flowers. We haven't helped them. We've only hurt them. We've deceived them. Yeah, it's not too bad. You're going to be fine. Jeremiah rebuked the false prophets in his day, Jeremiah chapter 6, Jeremiah chapter 8. And he said literally that they superficially treat the fracture of God's people, saying, shalom, shalom, v'ain shalom, all is well, all is well, when nothing is well. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. What did they do? They superficially treated the fracture. You know what God's grace does? God's grace comes down to help the helpless. In our sin, in our wretchedness, we cannot save ourselves. We cannot do anything in ourselves to save ourselves. We're in a pit that in a trillion years we could never climb out of. I mean, just think of it. You're in some deep, giant pit, 100 feet deep with slick walls, and it doesn't change, right? The conditions don't change. I don't care if you have one day to climb out or two or 10 or 20 or 50 or 100. Two. If you can't, you can't. So God has to reach down and save us, but when he saves us, he changes us. We are born from above. And here's what's written in Titus, the second chapter. To me, one of the most definitive words about grace in the Bible. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God has appeared, doing what? Bringing salvation for all people. Training us. What's training us? The grace of God. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us. Why? To redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. It's almost like this. We're in this pit and we're drinking contaminated water, and this contaminated water is killing us. He now takes us out of the pit. Well, we don't keep drinking the contaminated water now that we're taken out of the pit. We drink the new water, the water of life, so we don't keep killing ourselves. Hell's not the problem. Sin is the problem. Hell is the consequence of the problem. That's why Jesus dies, to save us from our sins. So now in him we lead a new life, and the grace of God, as it comes in our lives, it helps the helpless, and then it helps us as those who have been helped to live a brand new life in God. 866-34-TRUTH. Aviva in Beaverton, Oregon, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
I'm calling because, what's the woe for? I'm sorry, I'm too enthusiastic. I was calling because I was agreeing completely with what you said about the idea that you can accept Jesus as your Savior and not as your Lord, that you can rely on grace and not look to any kind of change in your life. In my testimony, I grew up in a Jewish Christian home. I went to Moody Bible Institute twice. I still didn't truly believe. I went through 28 years of basically the acts of the sinful nature in Galatians chapter 5, nothing changed. There was no real true regeneration. I mean, if somebody were to meet me, they'd say I was a nice gal, but, you know, there was still fornication and lying and selfish ambition and envy and so many other things. And when I came to know the Lord, I did that from watching YouTube, videos on YouTube that I saw one about Oprah denying that Christ is the only way, and then that led to things about the North American Union and the Vero chip and all these things. And this was right after the Chinese earthquake back in 2008, and I started to realize that all of these things were coming true. All of the things that I had read in the Bible were really coming true, and I just cried out to the Lord, and I said, it's all true. You really exist. And Jesus is who he says he is, and the Bible can be relied upon. After all, it says that Jesus is the Word. He is not something separate. The Word is Jesus. You better obey the Word. You better love the Word. And so after that,
So the deception, you would say the deception is that someone thinks they're saved, but they're not living for God. Jesus said, if you love me, you keep my commandments.
No,
right, so you went through the motions, you had the upbringing, you check off the things on the checklist, except there's no real evidence of a changed life.
Very quickly tell you the evidence is now. 31 years of clinical depression gone in that moment. Never back.
That's pretty serious. And how many years ago is this now?
This was May 13th, 2008.
May 13th, 2008. So you know, 31 years of clinical depression, and it's now over 3 years, 3.5 years gone.
Nothing. Yeah.
That's the
only time I feel down is when I don't dwell in the Lord and in his grace, and I dwell in my self-righteous legalism, perfectionism.
That's the power of the gospel.
I reach out to him and I say, rescue me from this body of death, and he does. He's so gracious.
Amazing.
And my opinions on things like abortion, I was pro-choice, now I'm pro-life in all things.
Fascinating.
And
change heart, change mind,
change
perspective.
Changed.
All right, hey, listen, I got to run to some other callers, but that is awesome.
I totally agree. In the Bible, you saw evidence immediately on everyone who made a change for the Lord. Yeah. I mean, look at Paul. Within a week, he was out witnessing.
Yeah, amen. So, hey, listen, I appreciate your enthusiasm and your testimony. Thank you so much for calling in. God bless you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. Boy, I'd love to hear more, but our phone lines are jammed, so I want to get to everybody else. James in Stockbridge, Georgia, what's on your mind, sir?
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
Enjoying the program,
as always. Well, appreciate it, man.
After 36 years of being in the ministry, what I see as experientially being the problem is a weak view of grace. Two forks. The first fork is what I call easy believism, which you've already addressed a little bit. You know, if you've got God's grace, you're covered.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sweat the rest. It's going to be okay.
Right.
And then, which is deadly. And then the The second is that not only does that grace not cover your sin, if that's really what you're believing, it also doesn't lead to a changed life, and the gospel always leads to a changed life.
Yep.
And I posted on your page on Facebook, you know, it's be a shame that Jesus is going to have to, after he raptures the church, comes, gets to the church, whatever your theology is on the end, he's going to have to go to him. You know, I'm really sorry, guys, that I couldn't give you victory while you were on the earth. I had to wait till you get to heaven.
Yep, absolutely. There is a new life in Jesus, and there is victory in Jesus. Hey, man, thanks for calling in. God bless you. Back with more of your calls. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, back in the early 90s, I was dealing with the subject of counterfeit grace, but always wanting to appreciate the grace of God, always wanting to honor the amazing grace of God, never wanting to denigrate the liberty and freedom and transformation that we have in Jesus, not by our good works, but by the power of the Spirit that then issue forth in good works in our lives as we work together with the Lord. So I am not out to preach in such a way of either superiority coming from me or smashing those who are struggling, but rather to say, friends, we have no justification to justify our sin. We have no basis for making light of sin. It cost Jesus his blood. Let us honor the Lord and turn away from sin by his grace and power. Here's one quote. It's possible, even probable, that when a believer out of fellowship falls for certain types of philosophy, if he is a logical thinker, he will become an unbelieving believer. Yet believers who become agnostics are still saved. They're still born again. You can even become an atheist, but if you once accept Christ as your Savior, you cannot lose your salvation, even though you deny God. Friends, the Word says plainly, if we deny him, he'll deny us. Anyway, I'm not saying we're saved by works. I'm saying a saved life is a changed life by the grace and power of God. Other deceptions in the body today. Bill in Wake Forest, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael, I appreciate you letting me answer. It seems like the deception I want to talk about is one that's American only. I don't know if it would fly anywhere else around the world where believers are being persecuted for their faith or experiencing poverty or something. But with our consumerism, I think wolves have slipped in among the sheep and propagated this thing of the prosperity gospel. If I want a Cadillac, I just name it and claim it and I get one. If I want to be rich, I just claim my richness and I get it. I don't know if that would fly anywhere but America, but it really feeds into our consumer mentality, our selfishness, it's all about me kind of thought. And I really think that's one of the things that Paul was talking about when he says people who speak to our itching ears.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Bill, there's no question that God supplies for us and that I've worked with folks around the world in poverty-stricken areas, and they've talked about how God enabled them to care for orphans, how God enabled them to feed people in the midst of famine, and how God miraculously supplied cash for projects they were involved in. So there's no question God meets our needs, but you're absolutely right to say that the heart of the error of the carnal prosperity gospel is that somehow Jesus came to make me rich, and that everything revolves around my physical earthly prosperity. As Paul warned in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, and said, those who desire to get rich fall into a snare and many hurtful and deceitful lusts. So that is definitely a deception. I did a show a couple months ago on what's right and wrong with the prosperity gospel. In other words, where is their truth and where is their error? And the heart of the error is exactly what you said. It's all about me and my needs and my wants, as opposed to take up the cross, follow him, and in doing so, find real life. Hey, Bill, thank you for the call. God bless you, man. By the way, I don't know if I'm going to get to this call from Phoenix, but as I'm looking at the screen, we just confirmed details September 14th in Phoenix. That evening, we'll be doing teaching on what the Bible says about homosexuality. I'll give you more details as we get closer. And again, we have plans to be in a number of different cities. where you're listening to me on the broadcast now, having rallies for our listeners or doing different types of ministry. So stay tuned for more information. Dan in Salt Lake City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, how you doing, Michael?
Doing well, thank you.
Listen to your show quite often, really like it. Called
well,
in
thanks
a few
so much.
Times. Hey, you're just talking about one of the things that's common, I think is taught, is this conception of, you know, once saved, always saved. You can't lose your salvation, in which I would agree, because you can't lose it because it has to do with God. But the other part is that it's held that you can't, because of the deceitfulness of sin, fall away and lose faith through the hardness of the heart. And so I think that's a danger as well.
Yeah, and think of it, you get hit on both sides. You tell someone there doesn't have to be any change in your life, any evidence of change in your life, just receive salvation as a gift. Then you tell them going out, that's coming in. Going out, doesn't matter how you live, doesn't matter what you do, doesn't matter if you ever have any experience of a changed life, you're still saved. We've deceived them coming in, we've deceived them going out, and really throws out the whole Bible where God calls us to live a certain way, and in fact, we are privileged to live that way as children of God. Hey, thanks for weighing in, and may the Lord continue to deliver us from deception. Can I encourage you to visit my website, AskDrBrown.org? If you haven't done that, we have hundreds of hours of free materials waiting for you. Some of the best messages I've ever preached in my entire life, they're on the website. You can listen to them, be changed, be challenged, be equipped through them. Debates I've had, ranging from rabbis to gay activists to agnostic professors, on the website. And then our articles, wonderful articles in the Voice of Revolution online magazine. Just a tremendous amount of material with new articles added every week, dealing with Israel, dealing with issues like deception in the body, moral, cultural issues, deeper life, spiritual issues. So really excellent, excellent stuff, really helpful. On our website, AskDrBrown.org, and available for you freely. Make sure you go there to sign up for our email list so that we can keep in touch with you and let you know what's happening when I'm speaking in certain areas, when new articles or messages come out. You'll be the first to know that. Special resource offers special discounts every week. You'll know about that. So it's a great way to stay in touch with us, and this way you won't hear from somebody else. You'll hear it first and foremost from us. And again, we really covet your prayers that God would move this week in Charlotte at the Gay Pride event. There are people with petitions trying to get us to stop, and you know, all it's crazy, hysterical talk. You know, we're going to be there, a bunch of lambs going into the midst of a Gay Pride event, where there'll be a lot of people that are very pleasant, friendly, and many hurting people, and others openly celebrating things that are very ugly. But we'll go right in the midst of them, moms, dads, families, sharing the gospel, sharing the love of God. Please be praying with us. And remember, special resource offer this week. I don't think we've ever put this much together at this lower price. Over 30 hours of teaching, over 20 hours on principles of revival. I mean, stuff that'll stir you, build your faith, build your expectation for revival, show you what real revival is in Scripture and in history, and what gets in the way of revival. And then over 10 hours of teaching on Jesus Revolution, what it really means to be a revolutionary follower of Jesus. Those two together on CD for your MP3 player or for your computer, just $20 for the two of them. That's right, for over 30 hours of teaching. You can get it today, and we'll pay the postage as well. Call us at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Got the number, 1-800-278-9978, to take advantage of this special offer. My bottom line, Paul wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:22, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. If we will pursue what is right, along with people who are right, we will never fall on the wrong path.